This is an episode of Difficult Yes, Impossible No series of Power Up Your Team podcast with host Martina Pulmeier, where CEOs and founders share inspiring stories of how they conquered challenges related to building their teams. Today's guest is Jeffrey Provost. He is the founder and CEO of Key Performance Integrators. As fractional COO, he partners with visionary business owners to develop efficient and scalable systems and processes so that they can grow their business and achieve their goals.
Awesome. So let's get started. It's great to have you on the show, Jeff. And you shared with me already earlier that you are in your current role. You are working with teams and leading them through change. So maybe share with us a little bit about your business and then talk a little bit about the challenges you are encountering working with teams in your client organizations.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much for having me on, Martina. I've really been looking forward to this. So I'm Jeff Provost, Key Performance Integrators. We provide part-time or fractional chief operating officer services to growth-oriented businesses. And so everyone on our team has, you know, several decades of leadership experience, and you know, has proven themselves in the COO role in you know, variety of companies and stages and sizes and things like that. And so a lot of our experience, what we bring to the table, is based off of our own personal, you know, struggles, triumphs, etc. Right. So yeah. One of the things that we really love to do is to help kind of share our knowledge and experience with our clients and help them avoid some of the mistakes that we've made along the way, and to help them kind of problem solve and troubleshoot and put all the right pieces in place to help them kind of scale and grow and achieve their goals.
Really, really cool. That sounds such a cool concept. You know, as a fractional COO, you have to step in quickly and make a difference to someone, I imagine, who can't afford a full-time COO yet. And so you need to pull on your own experience to quickly read the situation and quickly figure out where you can step in and really help the organization move forward.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we really come in, we kind of provide that fresh perspective, right? That really you get from any kind of external person who's going to come in and look at your business and look under the covers and things like that. But, you know, that perspective, again, is based off of experience. It isn't, you know, just kind of book learnings or watching a video. It's like, we've been there, we've done that, right? So you get that perspective. And then what we really love doing is just kind of getting hands-on and being able to work with the owner, work with the leadership team, work with the team members to drive change, to identify where things could be better, identify inefficiencies, you know, help create clarity for people in terms of what they're supposed to be doing in order to add value for clients and for the business and things like that. And then it's all about kind of being team builders and building that team and giving them the tools and the support and the resources they need to do their jobs well and to be effective.
Yeah.
So that's how we do what we do.
Yeah. And I think that's a key difference to an advisor or a consultant or a coach, right? I think a fractional chief operating officer, chief financial officer, whatever it is, you guys are much more hands-on, right? You have a seat at the table and you are part of the team, and you are also leading either your own team or the client's team into a certain direction. Really cool.
And sometimes people get, you know, get kind of caught up in the whole fractional thing or the consultant thing. And so we're not a typical, you know, and I say this lovingly, right? We're not a typical consultant where we're going to kind of come in, do an assessment, give you a report on all the things that are broken, and then walk away, right? Like we're part of the team. We're just, as you said, we're part-time, right? So you need this help. You need someone that can guide you and work with you to kind of break through the ceiling and solve these problems. You just can't afford that person on a full-time basis, right? And so that's where we can come in.
Yeah. And I imagine whenever you show up, change is on the horizon, right? You're not starting an engagement to maintain status quo. Right. You are coming in to drive change. So what are some of the challenges you have encountered to get everybody on board?
Yeah, and that's a great question, and that's one that comes up often, right? Is how do you get that buy-in? You know, how do people, you know, how do they kind of, how are you received, right? Like, are you coming in and there's opposition to what you're trying to do and things like that. And there's a science behind some of this stuff and a methodology by which you go and you learn and you observe and you do all these things. But then a little bit too is art, right? And that's the thing with people, right? It's about understanding how can you, it's almost like the Socratic method. How can you draw out of people what they need and what, you know, what would make their lives better and easier, and engage them in the process so that they feel like they're part of the ultimate solution. Yeah. And so that's the art, right? We don't come in and just say, okay, you know, we've been there, we've done that. And, you know, here's what we're going to do. We listen, we learn, we ask questions. We try to kind of, you know, drip in like, hey, you know, if we were to do something like this, what are we missing? What are we not thinking about here? What, you know, do you think that something like this might work? You know, have you ever tried something like this before? Would you consider this? What, you know, and so engaging people in that process of kind of the ideation and the transformation, we find that, you know, more often than not, people get on board and they get excited. Yeah. And you know, they just need a voice and they need to be part of it. And in fact, you know, we've got a, you know, one of our clients right now, where very established team and, you know, lots of tenure, you know, years and years and years of, you know, institutional knowledge and product knowledge and all this stuff. And then there's all this change that's kind of happening around them in the industry with their own product and things like that. And, you know, and there's been times where people just haven't had a voice and haven't been able to kind of share their frustrations and share their opinions and share, you know, why something, you know, may or may not be a good idea. And so we're trying, we identify those opportunities with the team, and then we try to create those bridges with, you know, with this team and other teams within the organization, and create that environment and that structure where people can communicate and share. And one of the things that, you know, that we often say is you don't have to agree with everything, but you need to understand. So if you have a voice and you can share your perspective and opinion on why something is or isn't the right thing, at the end of the day, someone's going to make a decision. That decision may or may not be aligned with what you believe, but it's on you to understand why that decision was made. And, you know, and there's always trade-offs and things like that. So,
but I think most people understand that, right? That it's not always their way, but the important piece is to have a voice in the process.
Yes.
And so the side benefit of it is, I find, is this is how trust is created, right? Trust is created in the interaction, in communication with the team and their leaders, but also with teams. You just mentioned it, you're also helping to bridge one department with the other, right? It goes the same way horizontally in the organization, where people need to talk to really get everything on the table. And then also then to find a path forward that is really the best path for the organization and not just for one person or one team.
Exactly. Yep. And it's funny in that, you know, big organizations, you know, have tens of thousands of people in silos and, you know, departments and all this stuff. And yet, you know, you're in an organization with under 50 people and, you know, the person over here doesn't know what the person over there does and they don't communicate with one another or whatever. And like, there's a million reasons why that happens, but there's no excuse for that to happen. Right. So you need to continue to find ways to bring that team together, help them collaborate, break down those barriers. And you'd be amazed at what you can accomplish when you do that.
Yes. It's interesting that you say that. You know, my background is also very large corporations. And of course, we were very siloed. And a lot of my work was to build the bridges between different teams. And it's interesting, with a small team, like you said, it's the precise same situation. It's probably a bit faster to work through it, right? If you have to maneuver yourself through an organization with 50,000 people and get everyone aligned and on board and all of that, that takes a couple of months. But the principles of aligning people, the way to do that is exactly the same, And so I think team dynamics are the same in very large and very small organizations. The way we approach to change that and to get everybody on board are a little bit different. But fundamentally, I always say people are people.
Yep. I agree. And it is funny because, you know, that's the thing that in what we do, you know, a lot of what we do is somewhat industry agnostic, right? Meaning like, you know, businesses, doesn't matter what business you're in. Like at the end of the day, many of them have the same problems, right? And it's around like, what are we, you know, what are we trying to be when we grow up? Where do we want to be, you know, a couple of years from now? What is it going to take to get there? What are the projects and the initiatives and the bets that we need to undertake now in order to get where we want to go? Yeah. And how do we create clarity in terms of who owns what and how are we measuring success? And then how do we create, you know, an environment and a culture whereby we track progress, we, you know, we address issues when they exist head on, and we solve them together as a team, and we focus on data and measurable. So like most of the problems that exist are a result of like not having a clear strategy, you know, picking the wrong projects, not holding people accountable to doing what they said they're going to do, not having measures to know if people are doing anything at all. Right. And, you know, when you, it's industry agnostic, it's size agnostic. You could be a, you know, $100,000 company or a $50 million company, and you're going to have the same types of issues and problems at a different level and scale, right?
I totally agree. And I agree, if the team doesn't know where the bus is going, they can't help you get there, right? And I think really determining where someone wants to take his or her business is really the responsibility of the executive leadership team or the CEO. But then I believe is the people, the teams can make a tremendous contribution to figuring out the best way how to get there. They all know stuff. They know a lot of stuff. And involving them in that process to figure out what is the most important work is really creating clarity on what needs to get done and creates buy-in.
Yeah, absolutely. Another kind of example, another client, very established, you know, insurance type business and you know, has kind of an emerging, you know, business unit within their company. And so there's new roles, there's new people, there's been a lot of growth. And, you know, for some of those that have been there for a while, you know, it's an evolution, right? So I used to do this thing, but now it's not clear. Like, am I still supposed to do this thing? Is this other person supposed to do this thing? If they're supposed to do it, how do we work together? And so getting people together, you know, mapping out the process and saying, okay, here's all the things that we need to accomplish. Here's all the tasks that need to be done. Who owns what? And let's recreate that. Let's revisit our job descriptions and make it super clear what you're responsible for, what success looks like, how are we going to measure, how are we going to coach, you know, all that stuff. And going through that process collaboratively with the people that are doing the work is impactful.
Yes, it's very impactful. And it's amazing how little in a role of a CEO, how very little functional knowledge you have to contribute. It's more a role of facilitator in chief, of pulling together, the common sense maker, right? All of that is more important than any piece of detailed functional knowledge associated to the industry your client is working in.
Exactly. Especially on a part-time or fractional basis, right? So you need a partner who understands your business vision and who has a bias for action and can actually, you know, drive change and, you know, and just get in there, roll up their sleeves and get things done, right? And so we get it done, and we get it done right the first time, as opposed to spinning wheels and taking forever to actually see things through to completion. Like, we cut through all the noise and we just focus on driving that change and getting things done.
Yeah. And it sounds like driving change is this key skill set that a fractional CEO contributes to his or her clients. Anything else you would list if you think about your top three skills that help you make a difference at your clients?
Yeah, I think we tend to be very process oriented. So I think a lot of business owners and leaders are quick to blame people, right? So so-and-so should know better. They've been doing this job for 12 years. They should know that they're not supposed to do this thing, or they're supposed to do it this way or whatever. Okay, they don't. So, how do you create that environment where it's clear? And a lot of that in our perspective comes down to process. And process is often a four-letter word. And like, we're not talking about like the need to create detailed work instructions and SOP manuals that no one's going to use, but at a high level, like, what do we want the customer or client experience to be? What are the things that we must do every single time when we're working on a sales deal? What are the things that, what is our process for how we, kind of deliver our marketing and branding content and whatever, right? So by having a process focus and getting things out of people's head onto paper, packaging it up in a way that it's simple and that people understand what's expected of them is one of the first keys from my perspective on
totally
a COO role.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Let me agree.
Actually, in my mind, a process is not nothing more than an aligned view on how to get things done.
Yep.
And it is often mistaken with bureaucracy, and it's actually the exact opposite.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Cool. And so again, what typically happens is you blame people. My belief, if you have a good process, then it's going to be much more clear if you have an actual people problem or if you've got, some other issue, right?
Yeah.
So process first. And then I think the other aspect is really on the data front. So being able to, cut through the noise and the emotion in the stories and the whatever, and just show me the data. Let's focus on the data. And the data doesn't lie, right? So the best and easiest example to understand is I think a sales example, right? So sales solves everything. If you're selling and you're hitting your numbers, then oftentimes people don't really care what you're doing and how you're doing it, right? But as soon as sales start to slow down, right? And then inevitably they do, now all of a sudden, like, well, wait a second, you're not hitting your numbers. What are you doing? Are you following up on, the prospects that are out there? Are you following up on opportunities? Are you doing the right, the right job in terms of qualifying and verifying the pain points and the budget and whatever? So a little bit of process, a lot of data, right? Like we need to have activities. We need to make sure that every single opportunity we have has a next step and that it's scheduled with the prospect and whatever. And so leveraging data to help you know if something's working or not is a really, really key piece, right?
Yeah,
so then
definitely.
When you've got a process and you've got clarity in terms of what you need to do, you've got data that tells you whether or not these things are happening. The third piece is really in that accountability. So, it's how do you productively hold people accountable to do the things that they're supposed to do, right? And when they're not, How do you handle that? How do you resolve that issue? How do you engage people in learning what's preventing us from achieving this thing? And then, at times it's recognizing that maybe you don't have the right people in the right roles and you need to make a decision on that. But the process, data, and then kind of that accountability and structure.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess that's what many companies who are in growth mode, right, are missing, because the problem becomes bigger as they are growing. And so that's a great great place where you guys can make a difference by implementing or introducing these disciplines, right? Process, data, and accountability.
Yep.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. But it sounds like you love what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. This is what I was meant to do.
That's what you were meant to do. That's why you worked at all these other places, right? To get your experiences. Really cool. What makes you most, when you have finished a client relationship. Like the fractional idea is that it's only a certain time. It's not forever. It's until they're ready to hire full time. What is one example of the proudest you have been or the most joy you experienced as you look back on a client and the transformation you were able to help them go through?
Yeah. So there's a couple examples, I think. So, one is with a client who, you know, had a very kind of mature business and needed help kind of re-architecting their whole product. And it's a B2B business-to-business technology, you know, software as a service business. And so we kind of completely rejiggered their product. We worked on a new go-to-market plan for them and with them, all of the pieces that needed to be in place in order to hit all of the milestones along the way. They're investor-backed, so they needed to hit certain goals in order to keep on getting more funding to continue going and things like that. So, hitting all of those goals, getting, the additional milestones met, getting additional funding, and then being able to actually, see that product go to market and make a return. So,
yeah,
generating, nearly $1 million in revenue within the first 6 months, starting to get that product market fit and some traction. So all of the, along that journey, right, there's all these little wins and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you feel good in the moment, but it's a long process. And you sometimes lose sight of like the big picture. So the big picture is going to market with a product. It's getting traction. It's selling. It's, it's working, right? And yes. So that's awesome. Really exciting,
Yeah, that's a great example. And that's really something very, very visible, a very visible change in the organization.
Yep.
Really, really cool. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Towards the end of our conversation, I always ask my guests to share their contact information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, always happy to connect with folks. You can find me on LinkedIn, Jeffrey Provost. You can also visit our website. You can go to usekpi.com. That's usekpi.com. And lots of information on there, lots of even free resources and templates and tools and things like that. And always happy to do just a free consultation with folks as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for being a guest on my podcast show. It was a joy and I really enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much, Martina. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Power Up Your Team podcast. Leave a review about this episode and share it with other CEOs and founders. The show notes can be found online at powerupyourteam.com.